Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we learn the halachas relating to the building of the sukkah. This is Simon Kuf Lamed Dalet 134 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at six concepts today. The timing of the building of the sukkah, the walls, the schach, that's the roof, invalid schach, borrowed and stolen sukkahs, and then respect for the sukkah materials. We are going to learn some of the basic outlines over here. Obviously, as with all of the learning that we're doing, there are many, many layers of complex halacha that relate to these topics, and therefore questions to be asked in specific circumstances relating to the situations that one needs to ask about. Let's jump in straight at the top. Timing and involvement in building the sukkah. So we're going to look at eight questions here. When should the sukkah be built? So it is a mitzvah to build the sukkah immediately after Yom Kippur. Even if that day happens to be an Erev Shabbos, one should not delay the building of a mitzvah. What kind of location should be chosen for building one sukkah? The Kitzur required mentions that it should be a clean place. Clean also means to say it should be free of odors. It should not be a place where it is smelly. Therefore, it's also a place which should not be windy, a place the sukkah is able to stand. Who should be involved in the building of the sukkah? So the Torah says that Chag HaSukkah is Ta'aseh Lecha. You should make the festival of sukkahs, which means to say that there's actually a Hechsher Mitzvah Kosev HaTorah. This is the preparation for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is actually living in the sukkah, but the Torah actually explicitly says to do the Hechsher Mitzvah, where therefore there is a importance of the involvement of the person actually doing the mitzvah, who's going to be living in the sukkah, to be involved in building and not just outsourcing it to somebody else, paying money, which is the way that Western society works, is just pay more money for other people to do things for you. When it comes to mitzvahs, there's actually a value in being involved oneself, specifically in this situation oneself. Should Shehecheyanu be recited when building the sukkah? So technically speaking, the Gemara says yes. However, we actually hold off on that bracha until we actually say the kiddush on the night of Sukkot, where we say the Shehecheyanu. That Shehecheyanu, that bracha of that we Hashem allowed us to be alive at this point in time, is then said with the intention of all the work done when making the sukkah as well. So it's not just said on the festival of Sukkot, it's also said on the sukkah. How should one treat the sukkah after construction? So one should beautify the sukkah with decorations, with elegant coverings, and according to the means of the person, one should make the sukkah beautiful. It's a mitzvah, it's a special time of year, one should be treating it in a way that shows that one cares about this. If one spends tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars decorating one's home, and one has a pop-up sukkah which is barely decorated, there is a misalignment in terms of the way one treats mitzvahs. And this is a mitzvah, and this mitzvah ought to be something very special. It should be something we show our kids, our grandkids, that it matters, which is why we decorate it. May a sukkah be built on Chol HaMoed? This happens many times where people are, let's say, away for the first days. They travel to another place, or they travel home on Chol HaMoed. Sometimes this question comes up, and the answer is absolutely. But it should not be a sukkah which is put together in the manner of a skilled artisan. So if it requires cutting wood, putting in nails, and more complicated activities, that is a problem. But if it's a do-it-yourself sukkah, a pop-up sukkah, a sukkah which comes and you just need to bolt it together or snap it together, that is fine to be made on Chol HaMoed. What eating customs apply on Erev Sukkos? So after midday, one should not eat a meal of bread in order to have an appetite for the sukkah meal, much like we have on Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah points out this is only really from the end of the ninth relative hour of the day. What other practices are done on Erev Sukkos? So one should be giving more amounts of tzedakah on Erev Sukkos, if the Kitzur records such a practice. We now move to the next topic, which is the walls. How should the sukkah walls be constructed? So they should be full length and strong so the wind cannot shake them or blow out candles inside the sukkah. There are many, many kulos, many leniences which relate to the walls of the sukkah. And many of these situations come up organically. One's making it on one's deck. One's making it in a situation where one only has available a certain amount of area of walls. The wall of the house is distant from the sukkah. There's all kinds of situations in which arise they, questions should be asked, but ideally speaking, we should not be relying on those leniencies. We should try to create four walls for a sukkah, which are stable walls, which are not going to move at all in the wind. What if there isn't enough material for all four walls? So it is better to have three walls which are complete rather than four incomplete ones as well. Technically speaking, it's really two walls and a tefach, which is a hand's breadth. However, we should try to maintain that we have four full walls, if possible. What about canvas walls, which is very popular today? So if they flap around in the wind, then that invalidates the walls. If they're tied at the bottom and the top very tightly, not just like loosely, but they're tied very tight, that may alleviate the problem. There is an opinion that if they wave more than a tefach in each direction, even when tied, that it could be a problem, which is why many of the pop-up sukkahs come with lovewood straps. What that is essentially is you put four sets of straps from the floor, and that creates a fence around the bottom of the sukkah, which acts as the wall, which is not blown in the wind, even if the walls themselves might flap too much to be valid. May a schach be placed before the walls? The answer is no, and this is sometimes a convenience thing. You put up the frame, and you want to put on the schach because it's easier to do it through the walls. You're not allowed to do that. It needs to be done after the walls are placed, because it needs to be that the ta'asev and loy mina asoy. The sukkah needs to be made and not be coming to completion, which means the completion of the sukkah is when the schach, when the roof is on. And if it goes on before the walls are there, the moment you finish the walls, it automatically snaps into being. That's not all right. It needs to be that the walls are finished, and then you place the sukkah, completing it in a state of completion. We move to our third concept, and that is a schach. The schach is the material which is used as the ceiling of our sukkah, and this is where a house is different to a sukkah. We are specifically supposed to live in a temporary dwelling, a dwelling which is vulnerable. So what are the requirements for schach? There are three basic requirements. Number one is that it must be from a material which grows from the ground. Number two, it has to be detached from the ground. And number three, it cannot be makabel tuma, which means it cannot not be a vessel of utility. So once you start fashioning it, so even let's say you have a plank, and it is a painted plank, it is an item of wood which has been made into something, it is now invalid because it has utility. The mission also requires that let's say it's a bundle of grain, that it cannot be bundled together and needs to be released from the grain, but that is a separate requirement. May one support one's schach on things like ladders or spits or shovels, which are not valid for schach because they have utility? The answer is ideally no. The sukkah should not be supported by items which are not kosher for schach. However, if there is no alternative, a person may hang one's schach or roll out one's schach on this as well. This is why you'll notice in many sukkahs, even though the frame may be metal, you put wooden crossbeams and unfill the schach on those wooden crossbeams as well. Are mats allowed in sukkahs? The Mishnah really talks about this. Generally speaking, a mat which is used for sitting has utility, and that's not allowed. But sometimes you'll see for sale that mats are used for, let's say, fencing, as an example, and that therefore it's not used as a kli, and actually maybe, which is why many mats which are not sitting mats are allowed to be used. The bamboo mats are used as well if they were not given utility as a sitting or walking mat. How much schach is necessary? So it needs to be that there's more shade than sun. That means even if over the course of sukkahs it dries out, there needs to be still more shade presented by the schach than the sun, which is coming through it. Where do you measure that? Do you measure that on the ground? Now look at the ground and I say there's more sun than shade, or do I measure it at the roof? Answer is we measure at the roof, which is a leniency, because sometimes you can have more shade than sun when you look up, but when you look down on the floor, it looks a little more sunny because of the way that light expands through cracks, but that's still all right. If there is more shade, but there are air gaps, is it still all right? So it's fine as long as there's no one air gap which is bigger than three tefachim. That means a 9 or 10 inch gap or hole, 9 by 9 inch, that's a problem. And that has the capacity to invalidate the entire sukkah. So one has to be careful that although there can be small gaps, but not a big gap like that. Is there a limit to how thick the schach may be? So ideally it should be enough that you can still see the stars through it. But even if they're not visible, it's still valid. However, if it's avakamin bias, that it's so thick that not even heavy rain can come through, that would invalidate the sukkah. So it's a balance between a level of protection and a level of vulnerability. What is the ideal way of dealing with the rain? The Kisra suggests that it's best to have a roof with hinges that can go across the schach. So if it's raining, you can extend the roof, and then retract it when the rain is finished, so your schach is not wet, your sukkah is not wet, and you can carry on using the sukkah therein. It's amazing that people spend excessive amounts of money to make all kinds of gadgets for their house, but when it comes to a simple suggestion like this, very rarely will you see people who take the money to beautify the mitzvah in such a way. But this is really actually talked about in halacha well before all the fancy construction of, that we have today, because this is written in the 1800s. We move to our next concept, that's invalid schach. What if a sukkah is under an overhang on the one side, or there's a solid board covering one area of the schach, which is invalid? So even if it's an invalid schach, so let's say there's an overhang of the house, the sukkah has to be made a little bit under the overhang. As long as that overhang or the board on the side of the roof of the schach is less than 4 amos, then we consider that what's called dofen akuma. We view that as the wall bending over, and it is all right. It does not invalidate the sukkah as long as that area is not more than 4 amos, which is around 7 feet or 2.1 meters. One cannot eat under it if one is obligated in the midst of a sukkah, but one it does not invalidate sukkah when it's less than 7 feet. This is the leniency called dofen akuma, the bent over wall. Is a sukkah built under a tree valid? So it is not a valid, even if the branches allow for more sun than shade, and the schach is providing more shade than sun. That is a problem. How can this be rectified? So the branches would need to be cut and placed on top of the schach. However, if, let's say, they just cut and it's lying on top of the schach and you didn't move it, that is not all right, because it's taseh b'lo mina asui, it's just snapped into being. So you would need to lift those branches after having cut them, and then that would be sufficient. Some people have rooms with removable roofs that they use on sukkahs by opening the roof and then placing the schach. Any specific requirements to think about? The answer is yes. You should place the schach only after you've opened the roof, or otherwise it's a problem again of taseh v'loy min ha'asoy. And what must be ensured about such a roof? So it should be ready. It ideally should be that the roof extends, the opening of the roof extends all the way to the walls. The schach is aligned with the walls, because if not, then you have an issue of this overhang, that even if it's less than four amos, less than 7 feet, really it's a problem sitting underneath it, and that could be problematic for people used to sitting in those areas in the room without realizing that they're not actually sitting in a valid sukkah. Does sukkah require a mezuzah? The answer is no, it's temporary, so it does not. But if it is made in a room as such, then it would require a mezuzah because it's more permanent. And so therefore, when one closes the sukkah after sukkah, one does not need a new bracha to put up a mezuzah, because there was a requirement of having mezuzah the whole time. We move to our fifth concept, borrowed and stolen sukkahs. Can one fulfill the mitzvah with a borrowed sukkah? The answer is yes. And that makes sense, because we go to each other's sukkahs all the time. As guests, we're not owning the sukkahs we eat in all the time. And that's because the pasuk says, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshua sukkos. Any citizen, we all are shared in sukkahs. This is not like the Arba Minim, where you need to actually own the four species to shake. But when it comes to sukkahs, you're allowed to use others. However, you're not allowed to use a stolen sukkah. So, you know, generally speaking, we try not to steal today, so when is this relevant? So one application of this is one should not put a sukkah in a public domain, according to many poskim. What happens if there's no other option in the city, as an example? So in extreme circumstances, one may sit in it and recite the bracha. May one cut one's own schach? So the halacha is one should preferably not cut one's own schach, but buy from another person. Why is this? Because let's say it was mistakenly cut without permission, and therefore it's stolen. If it's bought, it is possible to be used, because it underwent yush, the owners gave up hope of finding it again, and shine rushus, it changed domain. But if one cut it oneself, and one didn't realize it was without permission, it could be that it's stolen, and now there's no leniency to use such things, and one would not have fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkos. What if the only way I can get my schach is if I cut it myself? Then that's fine. Just make sure that it is with permission of the owners before doing so. We move to our sixth concept, respect for sukkah and sukkah materials. May the wood of the sukkah or schach be used during sukkahs? The answer is no. They are considered hukta lemitzvosai, set aside for the mitzvah. And this goes until after Simchas Torah, or if it's a 3-day Yom Tov and Shabbos is after Simchas Torah, that means till end of Shabbos, because in the Bein HaShmoshes, the twilight zone between the end of Sukkot, so Shana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres, and then Simchas Torah and then Shabbos again, it was in a state of being Asur, and therefore at that point in time, with the new day coming in, also continued that prohibition there onwards as well. This means that one may not move the items on Shabbos or Yom Tov even, because they're considered mukta. What about Sukkah decorations? They are also considered forbidden and on mukta as however, let's say you have an esrog or a fruit which is hanging from the schach, one is allowed to smell it, because this prohibition does not regulate smell, only touch or moving. How can I make a condition to use the sukkah on Yom Tov? The answer is for decorations, no, unless they're wall decorations. One can make it a condition and say, I'd like to make a condition that I can use these on Yom Tov, and then one would be able to use them. Can I move tapestries that I hang up in my sukkah for beauty if it's going to rain? The answer is yes. Even it's considered that by default you are ensuring that you are making a tnai, a condition to move them, but it is best to actually articulate that stipulation. How should sukkah decorations intended for removal be tied? So let's say I'm going to have a tapestry which I need to remove. In that case, it should be tied with only a loop and not a knot in case I need to actually move it on Yom Tov. After sukkahs, how should the sukkah materials be treated? So they should be treated like a mitzvah which has now been finished, which is with respect and not be stepped on or degraded, like when, let's say, you're retiring tzitzis. It does not need to go in shemos, there's no names of God on it, but it does need to be treated with respect and put away in a respectful fashion. May pesukim, may verses be inscribed or carved into the walls of the sukkah or fruits? The answer is no, because since it's going to possibly be treated in a not appropriate manner afterwards, therefore it is forbidden to go there in the first place. With this, we conclude the halachas of building a sukkah. Have a wonderful